Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, a podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes. I forgot what it's about jokes I can't get to work. It's producer Joel. Good job he's here, because if I'd have forgotten what the podcast is, I'd been stuck. I mean, I did remember.
That's but over why to I'm you, here. Joel. Hello,
yeah.
Mark.
What is this, Joel?
It's a podcast about jokes, but specifically jokes that comedians struggle with. They can't get them to work. Could be for any reason, Mark, such as...
Oh, it's always throwing it back at me. They could be too dark, Joel. They could be too rude.
It could be maybe it's political and they don't normally make political jokes.
Yes, because then you can split a crowd, can't you, Joel?
You can split a crowd.
Yeah. What's been happening, Joel? This is a good intro. Bit different, isn't it?
What's been
new
happening?
Vibes.
Not a lot, really. I cooked a lovely breakfast today.
Ooh, what did you have?
It was chickpeas and tomato and spinach all cooked together with and then some fried eggs on top.
What is that? Oh, you're one
it's
of those
health.
People
it's
that doesn't have
health.
Proper breakfasts.
Not always. No. I'll eat a sausage sandwich as quickly as the next man.
But why aren't you eating cereal like a normal person?
Because, mate, I've got so much fucking time on my hands. It takes
Joel, since when have you been swearing on this podcast?
Sorry, I just got very angry that you were suggesting that I wouldn't eat cereal. I love a bit of cereal. I've got a box of white Cocoa Pops in my cupboard, mate.
Oh, hello. Oh, they're bad for you. I wouldn't eat those, Joel.
Oh, for God's sake. What about if I mix them all in with some spinach?
Oh, dear. What is happening to you, Joel?
Anyway, it's the podcast about breakfast we can't get to work.
I had a joke that I put up about... Actually, it was in one of my old shows about... I had a joke... had a joke about getting snowed in. That's a joke that I couldn't get to work.
Nice.
Yeah,
speaking
yeah.
of couldn't get to work, are you missing doing stand-up?
I am missing doing stand-up, Joel, actually. I'm hoping that people's predictions are wrong and we're going to do it quicker than they're saying we will. But I'm enjoying doing this, Joel. It's the next best thing. And I hope at home you're all enjoying it. And if you are, any feedback, at Jokes with Mark across all social media. Why not go along? Give us a five-star review on Apple Pod. Yeah, I'm getting good at this. I mean, we're doing it enough. So, cracking. Yeah. Last week, great episode with Nick Helm. If you haven't listened to that yet, go back, have a listen. It is excellent. Lots of stuff there. And you can go and get the full version on Patreon if you like, at patreon.com/jokeswithmark. Shall we crack on with this week, Joel?
Let's do it.
Well, this week we've got Russell Hicks.
Ka-ching.
Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-ching. So let's talk about you. Jokes, because you don't, like, you do have bits, but you don't do a full set of bits, do you?
No, I was thinking about this. I was thinking, like, what a nightmare guest I am for this, and I almost felt bad because I was like, I bet you...
Not only that, you also don't know how to use voice recording equipment.
Yeah, well, you know, excuse me, I got lost. I get taken away by the moment. Yeah, like, basically... I felt like, there's no way he would be thinking me for this. Because I feel like you're one of those guys who loves the math of it. Like, you love, like, you probably love talking to someone else about how, you know, like, oh, I changed this word and like that like made it work, right? Yeah. I've seen you guys. I've seen your types in your corner, in the corner with your notebooks and like, oh, and then I said pickle and that, oh, that changed it. And like, that's all cool. But like that stuff just really bores me completely. Like, not like it bores me. Like, I love watching you guys that can do jokes.
Do you mean the process of it?
Yeah, exactly. Like the process of it. Like, I want it to work now. Like, I think if I was like,
so,
if I was like a rat, like in a laboratory, you know how they like, they push the button and the button gives them a reward, and then yeah, they just keep pushing it until it kills them. Like, that would be me. I would just keep pushing the feeder, and then they would just, I'd be like a statistic. They'd be like, oh, this rat just like killed himself in like a minute. Like, fucking done. And you would survive.
So if you have an idea for a bit, if it doesn't work first time, that's it.
It's like, it's not like I like consciously go, oh, I'll never do that again. I just naturally get bored of it. It's almost like a feedback loop. It's like, yeah, like if it doesn't work, then I'm going to be less inclined to try to get it to work the next time. I'll just naturally be like, oh, well, that doesn't give me any pleasure because I'm not getting anything, which doesn't mean that I want, like, we'll just rely on being a hack or anything. Because you could do that, but that doesn't give you pleasure either as a comedian, does it? If you get a laugh off something that is just like, that you don't believe in, that doesn't give you the same buzz. But I'm trying to get better at that. So yeah, I mean, but I just mostly, I like things when they come out organically. So a lot of times I'll improvise something and then like for a couple of weeks it'll be just in my act. Because it works, and it's just there. I didn't plan on saying it the first time, and then I don't even really plan on saying it subsequently. It's just there for a while.
So you won't like write that down to remember that that's a bit that works.
No, I'll just be like, okay, it'll be there when I get there.
And then, do you sometimes go back to bits that you did that with, say, 2 years ago? If it's something in the room comes up.
Yeah, sometimes I'll be on stage and like it's happened to me like a couple weeks ago, or like something happened in the room and I used something that I was like, whoa, that is like from like 7 years ago. A similar situation happened, but I haven't had a reason to use it. And I was like, oh, there, wow, weird.
What was that?
I can't remember, man. I can't remember.
Well, let's hope that situation comes
what
up in this
it?
Podcast.
Oh, I can't remember. It was something, and I just like, it looked improvised in the moment, but I was like, that's like a, like some kind of joke from like when I just, you know, was really early on, and I just thought.
So like you pretend that you're improvised all in the moment, but you've actually got 20 years worth of jokes that just,
oh yeah,
when something happens.
Yeah, I'm a sham.
You just go back to those.
Yeah. I wrote 20 years of jokes and then stopped and was like, right.
And then started comedy.
And I just said, I'm going to dine out on these for the rest of my career. Yeah,
so
no.
Have you got anything like lately that you were working on?
Or, yeah.
So do you ever actually go on stage with a bit?
Yeah, I do sometimes. But it's like, I've been, it's really weird with that because I just don't really feel like it's my natural thing to do. So I think like whenever I think about writing or doing jokes, it's like I'm trying to like add some other layer to what I do, but it just doesn't feel that natural. It's really weird. But I kind of like recently have just been like, oh, I'm just going to try this. Just almost like if like remember when that cricket player just started boxing? That's what it feels like me doing material. It's like, I'm just going to try this because, like, why not? And, yeah, I think the thing is that I sometimes when I do go to do jokes, I am missing that skill that I maybe should have developed earlier on. But I do find, like...
In what way? Like, in performing it or in the writing of it?
No, not in, like, performing it, but, like, in, like... Yeah, the writing of it. Yeah. Like sometimes I'll try to take a massive, I'll take like a concept that's maybe like, you know, a 10-year comedian can do, but I would need the joke writing ability to be able to pull it off. That I always find that really frustrating. I tend to do that a lot. I'll have a concept. I'll go up on like a new material night and I'm like, I know this is a good, because you're trying to do an original premise. You don't want to do anything. But when you do like a really original premise, there's no template really for you to figure out how to say that idea because it's never been done before. So sometimes I'll just be up there and I'll just be struggling with what I think is a good point. But there's just no setup to it. There's no punchline. There's no, like, sometimes I'll get off and I'll be like, oh, I just realized there was no real joke in that.
So have you got an example of that?
Yeah, I went on the other night and I was like, I tried to get this bit. I was like, I'm going to make this bit work. I did like, for about like a week, I tried this bit on New Material Nights about how I said that, okay, have you noticed how corporations are making these like woke commercials? You know, these adverts? They'll make these adverts that are like Pepsi did it, where that girl was like marching in like a gay pride rally, and then they just go like Pepsi, you know, like they're all woke. And so my joke was corporations are soulless. They don't care about these things. If society had gone a different way, we would be seeing completely different commercials from these people. You know what I mean? Like if all of society had just gone completely homophobic or racist, you know, you'd see Starbucks would be like, Starbucks, you know, strong coffee for straight people, and be like, yeah, and two guys high five and like I just couldn't get the concept across, so I would just end up repeating the premise over and over again and just shouting at the audience. I'd be like, don't you get it?
So what was the reaction?
Dude, like, just nothing. Like, just staring at me. And I'd be like...
Were they uncomfortable with the topic of you creating this world?
I think a little bit, like... I think so, a little bit. They were just kind of like, it was too dystopian or something, or it was too cynical. It was almost like... They were almost like, oh, you're bringing the mood down. And
I mean, I'm probably thinking way too much into it, but like the fact that with that example you gave, we it was like that, wasn't it? At one point, so like, does that affect it that they didn't do adverts like that back then?
Yeah, that was maybe. Like, I was thinking about that.
I mean, I think I might be thinking way too.
No, I started to try to research it because I was like, okay, because someone was like, you need examples. That's what they were saying. They said you need examples of like old commercials. And then I started thinking, yeah, they did used to do commercials like were kind of like that. I mean, wasn't there that, didn't you guys have a candy bar that was like only for boys or something like that?
Yeah, York. I mean, that's not that long ago. That's like Yorkie, yeah.
I watched that. I couldn't believe that advert, dude.
Not for girls. Yeah.
What? What?
Which isn't even good business.
So. I know.
Like you're reducing by half.
You just cut out half the market.
That's funny.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the thing. Yeah. So then I thought I could just talk about that, but I don't know. Sometimes, like, I'll like an idea like that. Maybe I'll get it to work one night, but it'll often be because I would riff around in it, and maybe the audience like noticed, oh, like it was more than just the bit. They knew that, you know, it had failed, and then I was saving it or whatever. But
like the setup, the idea, like the observation of those adverts is a good, definitely a good start off point. Have you tried to sort of go anywhere else with it, or always down the same route?
Well, I would like, it would sometimes just go into like an older joke or something that I had about, you know, McDonald's, like because I saw this ad once that said McDonald's said chicken nuggets, like our chicken nuggets are 100% chicken. And I just thought, like,
oh, yeah,
the idea that you'd have to make that advert is like, obviously they're not, right? And then so I would sometimes fall.
And also,
yeah,
the breadcrumb, the batter, isn't chicken. Which is.
Oh, well, that's the thing, dude. So I was in the store the other day. This is a total side trip, but like I was like at Tesco. This is how fucking bored I am because it's like whatever. There was a apple juice that said same brand, Tesco. And the one brand said never from concentrate. And then there was and then the same brand next to it had a one with concentrate. Yeah. And I just pulled the guy to the side and I made him look at both of them and I just went, well, not really, right? And he was like, yeah. And then I just realized I have too much time on my hand. But anyway, I forget why I told you that terribly unfunny story. But as you can see, without an audience, I'm fucking absolutely lost. Thank God you have an editor. No, but I did try to get that concept to work. I would try, but I think also sometimes it's like a weird transition. It's like I'm riffing with the audience, and then I'm just gonna hit you with some sort of like, you know, anti-corporate message. I don't know. It just didn't.
Yeah. So it's a bit jarring, maybe going from one to the other.
Yeah, but I see. I have a hard time with that because like there is that side of me where I want to say what I think, but yeah, it's tough to kind of sneak it in.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what big wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Because when you talk to people about what they do for a living, you could probably force that in somehow, no matter what they do.
Yeah.
Because you could say, oh, that's an honourable job, unlike such and such. Or if they have got like a banker's job or something, you could then link that in.
Yeah.
I guess, more naturally. I went into McDonald's and I saw they had their urinals and it basically had like a fact on it that these urinals save such and such an amount of water compared to normal urinals or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, well, one, you don't need to tell us that. Just do it.
Yeah.
Why are you telling it? You want that kind of pat on the back, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I that's the thing is I just there's this broad concept that I am trying to get across on stage, which I just think people either they don't get it or I haven't made it funny. Of like, yeah, just the hyper sort of corporatization of the world right now. And like, I tried to do that for a while about social media. And I try to point out how, you know, in my opinion, like, essentially what's happening is that individuals are becoming little corporations, which serve the bigger corporation, you know? And so if you think about it, people act like corporations. Like, even recently with the coronavirus thing, in the stock market, when the stocks are down, everybody jumps on to buy stuff, which is what you know you're supposed to do that. But it's kind of a sick practice if you think about it. It's like you're like you see sort of pandemics and stuff as an opportunity to make money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I felt like that's what everybody did with social media videos and shit. It's like as soon as it was like one day into the crisis, everyone's like, "Ooh, it's a good opportunity to get a big audience." Yeah. And put, and it's like you just operate. You're just a little fucking corporation, and they love it because you're essentially working for Instagram and all that. Now, what I've just said to you is like how I would work this bit out on stage. You can imagine the results. Disastrous. I mean, we're talking about like an audience of people who are out to drink and have a good time. Not a single joke in that. I mean, it was like, I don't know. It's just horrendous.
But sometimes it works, right? Sometimes will you ever do a bit like that and then it will just work itself out and work?
It'll usually become funny about, like, I'll just save it in the sense that I'll just do what I just did, which I'll just point out how unfunny that was, and then I'll just riff on its failure.
And if that works, that's a great system.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool thing. Yeah, I have often thought like that I can endlessly try out new ideas because in the end you can always just sort of tumble down the mountain funny. It's like you're climbing up with this bit, it doesn't go anywhere, and then you just, the next 5 minutes is just you tearing yourself down. And I think the audience kind of like that, especially if you do it on the weekends, even like at a real gig, they like to kind of see, oh, he's like really just sort of saying whatever, taking a chance. Like,
yeah. They see behind the curtain
a little bit. Yeah. Because I wonder how much, to the extent I feel like audiences with me, they'll think it's all improvised or they'll think it's all planned. And I wonder if it's the same with other comedians, you know what I mean? Where they'll think like, I still don't know because there's so much information out there. I don't know how the audience sees the performance anymore. Do they still think, oh, they're just making it all up? Or do they think, you know what I mean?
I think everyone's different in what they know. I think more people know that it tends not to be made up. But like I find that because a lot of mine's very scripted and it's very obvious that it's scripted. When I do come off script and improvise and be funny, I find that's very powerful and that actually helps the gig move up another level, even when I go back to the jokes, because they're like, oh, this guy's funny all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think, but I imagine if you're improvising and they're loving it and then you go into a bit that's clearly scripted, that's I could see them going, oh, this is a bit weird.
There's a way to make it look. I remember I talked to Ross Noble once, and he was telling me all about how he does it, and like, there's just like a skill to like making it. He said he had a really hard time with like trying to switch into bits because people would just go, "Oh, you're not making it up anymore." Yeah. And so I think he's really, really figured out a way to like blend it all in and stuff. And also he told me once that he, like you were saying about that, me having jokes for 20 years, he was essentially saying that. He said he's got so many things that he's improvised over the years that he can just pull from. Yeah. That it's kind of like it doesn't really, there is no difference anymore, really. Which I think is interesting. I think that's the problem. See, that's why I have trouble with an hour show, is because like when I'm in a comedy club, like, the thing that works in a comedy club and the thing that I'm going to be impelled to do is just sort of be in the moment, because that's what works in a club. Yeah. That's what works for me. And then so when you then try to like transition into this hour show, it's almost like I've had no experience in that environment. You know what I mean?
But would you not brand yourself as that you do in the clubs and then you can just do the same thing? Or can you not do that for that length of time? Because I've seen you do a long sets and smash it, just improvise it.
Yeah, no, I can do it. I did it up in Edinburgh. Like, that's what I would do. I would just do hours of that. But I just think, I don't know. I think maybe it's, you know, it works. But, like, I don't know. I think there's an element of, like, maybe just it needs a little. Well, I don't know. Maybe it does work. Yeah. Maybe I just overthink it. Who cares? And that's the thing. I don't think the audience really cares. They just want to have fun and see a good show.
Yeah. Do you think, like, because I think with Ross Noble, when he does bits, they tend to be quite silly, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, so mate, and you're quite silly in your improvising, aren't you?
Yeah.
I think.
Well, I mean, we're comedians.
More kind of.
No, I improvise like really dark.
Yeah. So that, yeah, so I'm just trying to think of why, like, if you then went into a bit like about the corporations and stuff, but that does fit, suit you, I think. So
I don't know. I just have to figure out how to
just work out how to.
I like guys like who do quick little jokes. I like your style. I like Darren Walsh. I like that because I feel like that kind of actually suits me. If I do, if I'm, because I'm more quick, like if I'm riffing and improvising with people, it's like, it is like kind of quicker. And I think actually to have like 20 little small jokes in my pocket does suit. And sometimes I do. I mean, like, someone told me that once. They were like, well, you do speak in joke patter. You just don't write them beforehand. They'll be like, when you're talking to someone and you're making something up, it'll be like, da 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 bop, like, you know, like.
Yeah, and you'll do a pun on something someone says if you can think of another meaning,
right?
In reaction to them, right?
Yeah,
I've seen you do that. So like, but going back to what you just said, like, Trevor Locke is very similar in a lot of the way he does stuff as improvised, but he's got a lot of silly little jokes as well.
Yeah, Trevor's always been able. He's been really good at. He'll frame it in like an overarching structure too, which I've always liked that. I've always thought he's really good at that. He's really good at coming up with like a framework for the whole thing.
Mm. Yeah, his thing where he gets the whole audience like in a circle. Have you seen that show?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
It's really good. Community circle, I think he calls it. But yeah, that's a nice framework.
Exactly.
And he improvises a lot, but he also will throw in little jokes that he's already got.
Yeah. Me and him have talked a lot about that.
If it comes up. What's that?
Me and him have talked a lot about that.
Oh, okay.
About just like our, I don't know, our different styles and like our aversion to jokes for some reason. I don't know. I started out.
But he's another
jokes.
Person that he's another person. He really loves little jokes as well, like other people doing them. Like he's a big fan of them.
Yeah, I mean he does. He writes. He does have a lot of little jokes. Like he will write like a lot of little jokes as well. But that's something that's interesting. You talk about, because we were talking about how am I going to do this podcast. Well, that's one way you can think about it is like the hour, like when I tried to do an hour, I remember that's what it was all about for me. It was always about extending the time. Like I could improvise for like 5 minutes in the beginning, and then I would just go on, and rather than work on jokes, I would just try to push it. I would just try to push myself a little longer every time.
All right.
And, you know, you would usually get to like a dead spot where you just didn't know what to do and you'd kind of just eat it. and, you know, definitely that probably happened like the first time I tried to do an hour. And sometimes, sometimes if it doesn't really take off, you are just kind of hanging out there for like an hour.
Wouldn't have a bit in an hour show where you'd go, I would just drop into that bit.
Maybe I'll throw in a few bits, but it's a lot. It's not like, oh yeah, like I'm gonna get to this part and then the show's gonna unfold into this like narrative. No.
Yeah. So have you got any other bits that you like over the years, concept wise, that you've been trying to sort of get something out of?
Let me think. Let's see, like a concept, like a bit that I've been trying to get something out of. I have a really hard time, like lately I've been trying to, get like social media, like just trying to like talk about how much I dislike it, but not in a way that other people say it, like, oh, I did, like they're all using it. I'm like, no, like I think it's like.
No, I remember you telling me that you don't use it a while ago and I was like, you've got to use it.
Yeah.
So that is you. That is very you.
Right, right. But I don't know, man. I just don't know. It's again, it's that thing of like I don't know how to make it funny. Like I'm trying to point because I'm almost telling all the whole audience that they're stupid. Because I do this whole bit where I go,
that's not okay, stop.
You know what I mean? It's like I'm trying to do this bit where I go, everyone who uses it is like an idiot. You know, I'm like,
I don't know why that doesn't work.
But it's like, but essentially that's what I'm doing, because if you're saying, if your perspective is someone who doesn't use it and you're noticing everybody, and then you go on stage to tell all those people who 99% use it and don't even see anything like really that wrong with it, it's hard to like explain to them how dumb it is, because I feel like they're just so into it, you know, like all.
You really got to work out a good angle.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I tried to do this one thing where I got this one thing to work though. I was trying to do each one of them. I was trying to say, I don't use social media. So, but what's interesting is I can tell what apps people use the most just based on how they act. That was the premise, okay. Right? And so, like, the Twitter one I got to work, I would say, like, they're always angry. Like, I would be in the green room and comedians would come in and they would just be furious. And I could just tell. I've just been like, you've been on, like, Twitter all day. And then I just had this thing where someone said to me, what do you think about people getting annoyed that oat milk isn't real milk? Like, did you see that? And I'm like, yeah, that's not happening. I have no opinion on it because it's not real. That's like that's what's going on Twitter today. That's like, I didn't walk down the street and someone busted out of a Tesco, like throwing oat milk all over themselves, screaming, get pulled away. Yeah, so I could kind of get that one.
Ah, that's, yeah, you know, that's good.
Be like, they're feeding us oats, man. But then like,
did you?
Yeah, then I tried to do all three of them. I could only really get. But even then, it just, it was like kind of funny. I just couldn't get it to, you know, there's that like feeling when you get, it's really hard to get a joke from me has to be like, I have to like it, but it has to be like the way that I'll really use it is when it, is when a joke becomes something that you'll reach for to like save you, that's when it's like a material, right? Don't you feel like that?
Yeah.
Then you've got all these little ones that you're like, oh, I like that joke. But when you really get to the front line, you don't.
You really need
you're
it.
Like, I can't. You're not going to defend me.
Is it going to fire? Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you're doing like a Friday night, like the Glee or something, and you're like, you're not going to put that in the top three, you know? And then it's like, well, then fuck that joke. You know, what's the point of it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I always want to hammer out an idea to where it gets to that level. But I don't know. What do you do? Do you actually sit and write them down?
Yeah. So I'll get an idea and then I'll then sort of sit down and construct it and then try it and then work out why it does and doesn't work. I mean, it is boring. That whole part of it,
but you must enjoy it.
Get that. I do, and I really enjoy getting it right.
Right.
So when it hits, and then it becomes one of your A1s, that's a great feeling. Russell Hicks,
amazing.
Hashtag awooga, Russell Hicks.
Well done, Russell Hicks. Great comedian, Russell Hicks.
He is. Great, great vet. One of the best improvisers in the game.
Awesome.
You've heard it here. And I think mentioned it in the podcast.
You can put that on your poster.
Russell Hicks. If Russell Hicks can put that on his poster, one of the best improvisers in the game, Mark Simmons, 2020.
Lovely stuff.
Oh, I bet that's bloody made his day. Think of all the extra tickets he's going to sell now. I should have a cut of that.
You should get a cut of that, really.
I think so. So, good. Lovely. Any feedback at Jokes with Mark or social media, as always. And thank you for listening during lockdown, because I know there's lots of things you could be watching on TV. So we do appreciate you sticking us in your ears. Anything more from you, Joe?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Joe. Oh, we've lost it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.